Good morning. Gosh, you sound so happy. I'm going to let you go over in this side for just a second more. Good morning, everybody. Happy Sunday. It's a beautiful day outside. My name is Gay. I'm one of the pastors here, and it is really great to be able to share with you this morning as we continue in our series on the Holy Spirit. So God has been inviting our community into a deeper relationship with the Holy Spirit. And in the last several weeks, we've been learning who the Holy Spirit is and what the Holy Spirit does in our lives. Today, we're going to be talking about the role of the Holy Spirit in changing the world. Any week that you are here, you hear our purpose. And our purpose at River Heights Vineyard is to help a growing number of people love God, love people, and change the world. Well, the Holy Spirit is the power behind that purpose. Would you pray with me this morning? Holy Spirit, we are so open to having you meet us this morning. We welcome your presence with us. We thank you for your presence that's with us right now. Would you open our hearts to receive your word this morning? Would you open our hearts to receive the love of God this morning? I pray that in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, today I want us to look at Acts chapter 2. It's a well-known passage about Pentecost. Now, if you follow or are familiar with the traditional church calendar, Pentecost is not as popular or well-known as Christmas or Easter, but it is a watershed event that commemorates really the birth of the Christian church. It celebrates the coming of the Holy Spirit to Jesus' followers, just as he had promised. So Jesus told his disciples after he was resurrected and he visited his disciples, he said he had to go away in order for the Holy Spirit to come. Now, I imagine that that was a difficult thing for the disciples to understand. Their friend, their teacher, their Messiah, their resurrected Christ was leaving them. And he instructed them to wait in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit came. So they did that. And the scriptures tell us that there were 120 believers gathered together in a room waiting for what the Lord had promised. So let's read the story of Pentecost beginning in the first verse of Acts 2. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them that ability. So just imagine with me for a moment what it would have been like to be sitting in that room. There were 120 believers, and I was going to say in my sermon today that that's like second service, but I think it's like first service today. So about this size, sitting in a room waiting for what Jesus had promised. And I don't think they really knew what they were waiting for. I don't think they knew what it was going to be like when the Holy Spirit came. And they had an actual experience on that day with the Holy Spirit. It was an experience of both power and filling. And it was something that was beyond the realm of imagination. You can experience the Holy Spirit too. When I've had tangible experiences with the Holy Spirit, whether they were power experiences or gentle experiences, the result has always been feeling a deeper connection to God's love and care for me. So I'm going to tell you about the first real tangible experience I had with the Holy Spirit's gifts and power. I was a freshman in college. I was at Bethel College. Any Bethel people here? Woot, woot. So I was at college, and it was back when it was a college. It's now a university. I was a freshman, and I happened to be alone on a Friday night in my little suite of rooms. So that was rare by itself. And I was having a rough time in my life with adjusting to being in college, to dealing with some things in my past, and really believing that God was for me, that God loved me and cared for me. And I was also really unsure that my problems were big enough for God to want to do something about. And so I really was at a place of crying out to God, but not really knowing what to ask for. So I happened to be in the bathroom where good spiritual experiences happen. I've had several of those. And I was crying out to God in prayer. And I prayed in my own language, in English, and I prayed in the prayer language the Holy Spirit had given me in tongues, and I felt very much like the Holy Spirit was helping me to pray because I didn't know what to say, and I didn't know what to ask for. And we read this in Romans chapter 8. It says, "And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that can't be expressed in words. And the Father, who knows all hearts, knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will." So that's what I was doing. I was crying out to God, not real sure what to say, and I feel like the Holy Spirit was just interceding on my behalf before God. And it was a powerful time of encountering the Holy Spirit by myself in prayer. And I thought that was the end of the story. But a week later, the next Friday, I went to a life group at the church I was attending at the time. And at the end of that meeting, there was always a time for people to pray for each other. And sometimes there were prophetic words shared. And a prophetic word is really an encouragement from God for someone. And God uses us, you and I, to share those messages with others. And I had seen this happen, but I had not experienced it. I had not had someone do that for me or come and speak to me saying God might want to tell me something. So we were having our prayer time, and a gentleman came over that night and said to me that God wanted to tell me something. So I wasn't sure about all this stuff, but I said, okay. And here's what he said to me. He said, "God wants you to know that he saw you last Friday night in your bathroom, crying out to him. And he's pleased with you, and he heard the cries of your heart, and he wants you to know that he loves you and is taking care of you, and you are not alone." Now, God knows me, and God knows you, and God knew that if he had sent someone to give me a message, and that person had said, "God loves you and cares for you," I, in all of my faith, would have said, "That's nice. God loves you too." God needed to add something specific that would pierce my heart and grab me so that I would know this is true and this is real, and that God needed to let that person say to me, "I saw you Friday night in your bathroom." That man was in Eden Prairie. Bethel is in St. Paul. That guy was not in my dorm room that night. This was the Holy Spirit speaking through this person so that God could say to me that I see you, I hear you, I know you, I love you. And at that moment, I had another encounter with the Holy Spirit as the Holy Spirit revealed God's deep love for me. That's one of the things the Holy Spirit does, is he pours the love of the Father into our hearts. So this was like my first real Pentecost experience, and it opened my heart to how important the Holy Spirit is in our lives. Do you need that today? Do you need a tangible experience of the Holy Spirit's power today? He's here for you to let you know that he sees you. And some of you might be sitting here today thinking that God doesn't see you. But he sees you, and he hears you, and he loves you. Let's continue the story in verse 5. At that time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. And when they heard the loud noise, everyone came running, and they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. And they were completely amazed. "How can this be?" they said. "These people are all from Galilee, and yet we hear them speaking in our own native languages. And we all hear these people speaking in our languages about the wonderful things God has done." And they stood there amazed and perplexed. "What can this mean?" they asked each other. So the Holy Spirit came and caused God's goodness to be proclaimed to every tongue, tribe, and nation that were present in Jerusalem that day. And that's one of the roles of the Holy Spirit is in changing the world. It's to reveal God's goodness and character to everyone. God loves everyone and speaks to them in their own language. That might be a native tongue. It might be a way of communicating based on how you learn best. God speaks your language. He wants to communicate with you, and he'll speak to you in the way you need to hear him. And God wants to speak to you today. God wants to speak to you in your own language. Let's continue in verse 13. But others in the crowd ridiculed them. "They're just drunk, that's all." Then Peter stepped forward with the 11 other apostles and shouted to the crowd, "Listen carefully, all of you, fellow Jews and residents of Jerusalem. Make no mistake about this. These people are not drunk, as some of you are assuming. 9 o'clock in the morning is way too early for that." I don't think Peter said it like I just did. But some things are really just too amazing sometimes to grasp at first. And I understand these folks. They're trying to sort this out. And when we see the Holy Spirit come in power, some of us are immediately open to that. We actually gravitate to that. And yet some of us try to rationalize it and explain what might be happening. And I totally get both reactions. I may have thought these people were drunk too. Something was wrong with them. But then the Holy Spirit does something awesome. He gives Peter boldness to stand up and preach an amazing sermon. And here's what Peter says. He says, "People of Israel, listen. God publicly endorsed Jesus the Nazarene by doing powerful miracles, wonders, and signs through him, as you well know. But God knew what would happen, and his prearranged plan was carried out when Jesus was betrayed. With the help of lawless Gentiles, you nailed him to a cross and killed him. But God released him from death and raised him back to life, for death could not keep him in its grip. God raised Jesus from the dead, and we are all witnesses of this. Now he is exalted to the highest place of honor in heaven. He is at God's right hand, and the Father, as he had promised, gave him the Holy Spirit to pour out upon us, just as you see and hear today. So let everyone in Israel know for certain that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, to be both Lord and Messiah." Peter, in boldness, the same Peter who denied Jesus 3 times, receives boldness and power to share the story of Jesus with everybody that's listening. And the Holy Spirit reveals Jesus' identity to the crowd. He is the Lord, and he's the Messiah. He died, he rose from the dead, and he sent his Holy Spirit to everyone who believes in him. That's another thing the Holy Spirit does. He reveals Jesus to us, who Jesus is. He reveals Jesus to the world. Have you met Jesus in this personal way? If you want to get to know Jesus, the Holy Spirit will reveal who Jesus is and what he has come to do to love you, forgive you, and rescue your life. The Holy Spirit is here with us today to show us who Jesus is, to remind us afresh who Jesus is. Let's continue the story, verse 37. Peter's words pierced their hearts, and they said to him and to the other apostles, "Brothers, what should we do?" And Peter replied, "Each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is to you, to your children, and to those who are far away, all who have been called by the Lord our God." And those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day, about 3,000 in all. That's a powerful story. It's also apparently a really great church growth plan, right? The Holy Spirit comes and really just brings people into a relationship with Jesus. And those who are listening are so, they have just been pierced in their hearts. So they say, what do we do? You know, they ask the question, what should we do? And the Holy Spirit convicted the listeners of their sin. What does that mean? It means that one of the roles of the Holy Spirit is to let us know that we actually need a Savior. We need Jesus. Conviction means that we become aware there are things in our life that need a power greater than ourselves to restore us to sanity, to rescue us and give us new life. And the Holy Spirit doesn't do this because he wants to point a finger of guilt or shame. It's out of love and a desire to say that there's more for your life. There's better way for your life. God has good things for your life. And this is what happens in this story. Through Peter, the Holy Spirit reaches over 3,000 people in one day and draws them into relationship with Jesus and into a community of people. On that first Pentecost, the Holy Spirit helped a growing number of people love God. And the Holy Spirit was the power behind that purpose. I encourage you, pray for the Holy Spirit to blow open our hearts to receive people who are from every tongue, every tribe, every nation into our community here. We get to witness this firsthand already on Sunday mornings in the second service when Lavinia is worshiping. There are many Latino people from many countries worshiping God in their own heart language, while we worship God in our heart language. But the Holy Spirit brings unity between us. We're one church with different languages. The same Holy Spirit unites us in our love for Jesus and in our purpose to see more and more people come to love God and love each other. So pray for the Holy Spirit to give us open hearts to receive his love, to give his love away, and to give that love away to every person who comes through our doors. So with the power of the Holy Spirit, we can help a growing number of people love God. How do we do that? We can start with what we do right here on a Sunday morning. We gather together for worship, to hear a message from the Bible, and to offer a time of response through worship and prayer. We grow in our love for God as we gather together. Part of loving God is being in community with each other. Now, we're busy people. Anybody here busy? Got busy lives? But let's make a commitment to gather together on Sunday mornings when we're in town, because God has good things for us when we come together. And let's commit to coming to Holy Spirit Night every 4 weeks on a Friday evening. This is where we will get to know the Holy Spirit more deeply and experience him more tangibly and take time to listen for his voice for ourselves, for others, and for River Heights. As Pete said, Holy Spirit Night is this Friday at 7. You have the opportunity to come and to worship and pray and connect with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit changes us for a purpose, and it's to partner with him in changing the world. Loving God yourself and helping others love God is one of the vital ways we do that. The Holy Spirit is also the power behind helping us love people, the second part of our purpose. We want to be a community that loves people and that helps others learn how to love people. The Holy Spirit empowers us to do this. It's part of being transformed. Love is the most important thing that we can do to show Jesus to the world. The Bible says that the world will know we are Christ followers by the love we have for each other. So that's easy, right? We don't do that so well sometimes. Sometimes it's hard to love each other. And the Bible tells us that's what the world is looking at to see if we follow Jesus. The Holy Spirit is the power that helps us love one another. And when we know we are loved by God, which is one of the roles of the Holy Spirit, to pour the Father's love into us, when we know we are loved by God, it's easier to love others. Do you know God really loves you today? He really loves you. That's a question the Holy Spirit can help settle in your life if you're unsure of that. We can reflect love to the world because God first loved us. And as we're rooted in that love, we become free to love each other. That's what the Holy Spirit does in our lives. And if you need that today, the Holy Spirit is here to pour God's love into your heart. The Holy Spirit transforms us so that we can change the world. God sent Jesus to change the world, and Jesus now gives us, his church, the mission to continue his work. So what a great purpose we've been given, to partner with the creator of the universe to change the world. And oh, how much we need to rely on the Holy Spirit to be able to do that. And like those 120 believers that were gathered in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, they were sitting in expectation that the Holy Spirit would come and would meet them. And like those believers, let us come before God this morning with the expectation that God will send his Holy Spirit, the very same Holy Spirit, to empower us and fill us today to be his church. What are your expectations today? For yourself, for our church community, for your family? Let's ask God to grow our expectation for his purpose in our life and in our church community. And let's ask the Holy Spirit to guide us as we help a growing number of people love God and love people and change the world today. I'm going to invite the worship team to come back up. And if you're on the prayer team, I'd invite you to come and be ready to pray for people this morning. And if you're able, would you stand with me? You can watch the worship team come running in now. I have three tips this morning to help you take this message into your week. And these are in the form of something to read and something to pray and something to do. So the first, read Acts 2. I encourage you to take some time as you read through this chapter to put yourself in the story. Put yourself in the story as the believers are gathered together. And imagine how they felt. Imagine what they experienced. When you sit with the scripture, ask, are you feeling like so excited and expectant for the Holy Spirit? Are you feeling a little afraid? Put yourself in the story and let God meet you through the scripture. And then pray this week that the Holy Spirit would be poured out on your own life and on River Heights Vineyard. Pray that we would be filled with God's love and be able to live out the purpose He's given us. Pray that we would see more healing and more miracles and people coming to know Jesus in our community. The Holy Spirit has power for us. He has power for healing. He has power to restore broken relationships. He has power to give us the life that we need to follow Jesus. The Holy Spirit is here. Pray for that to be more and more apparent. And then your due this week is two-part. First, come to Holy Spirit Night on Friday. We're going to be gathered together to worship Jesus, and I encourage you to come and meet with us at 7 on Friday. But part two of that is spend this week praying for Friday night, praying and asking God to meet us and pour Himself out on us as we gather. Ask God to pour out the Holy Spirit as He did on Pentecost, and come with expectation that you will have a tangible experience with the Holy Spirit. It might be gentle, it might be powerful, it might be for yourself, it might be for someone else. It might be like that gentleman on that Friday night in my life group who listened to the Holy Spirit and shared some words with me that changed my life, that caused me to know that God sees me. Come to Holy Spirit Night. Like, let the Holy Spirit work through you and meet you. We're going to take time now to respond to the Holy Spirit and what He's doing among us. We're going to do that by worshiping together and also by receiving prayer this morning. And our prayer team is up here. They would love to pray with you for any need you have. I'm going to pray for us. If you would join me, and if you're comfortable sort of holding out your hands, I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to come and meet us right now. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come and move among us. Come and speak to each of us the words of life that we need this morning, in our own language, in the way we need to hear it. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come and pour the love of God into each person's heart that's here today. That they would know that they are seen by you, and they are loved by you, they are cared for by you, and no one here is alone. Holy Spirit, come, fill our lives, fill our hearts in every way we need you this morning. As I was praying this morning, I felt that the Holy Spirit wanted to meet us in several ways, and I just ask that you just continue to let the Holy Spirit meet you if He's speaking to you right now. But if there are any of you who need to know Jesus for the first time, we'd love to pray with you and let the Holy Spirit show you who Jesus is and how He loves you and has new life for you. So Holy Spirit, come and do that. And some of you need a tangible experience from the Holy Spirit. You need to hear a word that lets you know that you're loved and seen and cared for. Come let somebody pray for you and speak to you through the Holy Spirit this morning. And it felt like the power of the Holy Spirit is here. If you have a physical condition that needs a touch from God, that the healing power of the Holy Spirit is here for you today. And I feel like there are relationships that are broken, might be friendships, might be marriages, might be other family relationships, but you need the Holy Spirit to be the repairer of relationship today. Come let somebody pray for you this morning and let the Holy Spirit begin to do the good things that the Holy Spirit does in our life. We'd love to pray for you for anything you need today. So come and receive. The worship team will dismiss us when the service is over. If you're a guest today, I'd love to meet you out in the welcome area.